Good morning and welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I'm Amy Otto, joined by Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Miss Amy. How are you doing today?
I'm great. I am great. Garden's coming up. Everything.
How's that bacon for breakfast?
Salty. Yeah, way salty. Organic salt cured bacon.
I just saw an organic dry cleaner. They just throw organic in front of everything.
Yeah.
Organic cigarettes. There's organic cigarettes.
That's crazy. That is really wrong. Organic cigarettes.
Why not?
It's not
just
good
they
for
don't
you.
Use pesticides when they make the tobacco.
I think we need to have an all organic show.
There you go.
I'm feeling organic. I don't see any additives in this room, any preservatives that I'm aware
not
of.
Not much.
We're definitely going green at the Atlanta Business Radio Show. We have a great show this morning, Lee. I say that every morning, but some mornings I get really excited about the guests because they're unusual and interesting. And this morning we have three guests with us today that I'm really interested to hear more about their businesses because I'm intrigued. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Stephen Goforth.
Hello.
You are the founder of what?
I'm the founder of Barber One Corporation and the associated brands with that, which is Image Management, ExecuCuts. Websites are barberswanted.com, managemyimage.com, and so on and so forth.
So they're barbershops.
Well, I don't call them barbershops necessarily. We call them Image Management, for example, is a barbershop that you would find in a more exclusive upscale area where you have a lot of good corporate clients who can afford to come in and pay a little bit more for that upscale service that people talk about but rarely see. It's like Bigfoot. You hear a lot about it, but you never really see it.
Now, is this something that's male-oriented, or do you have female clients as well? Because, barber and women, I don't know if that...
It is male-oriented primarily because we don't do any type of chemical services.
Mm-hmm.
We focus primarily on the male because, and quite frankly, you can get a guy in and out in about an hour, and that's our practice.
Uh-huh.
To be able to get as many customers as we can in the daytime, time allotted, and an hour's worth of service, cut, facial, and then we move to the next.
What in the world was your inspiration to start this? You don't have any hair. that's what kind of cracks me up. You have great facial hair. I like that.
Thank you very much.
It looks good. But, what inspired you?
Being in the industry, owning shops for a long time, and I realized that I come from probably a background where my mother taught me real good ethics about business, and we lived in a good suburban neighborhood, and I just didn't have a lot of hood in me. Me being a black guy and not having that hood placement, I'm not represented on television. There's really no place for me because the hood is celebrated so much now that it's ridiculous. But there are people like me who are 100% hood free. And we have to have a place of our own where we can be represented. So I have the barbershop concept, and I've merged that with the suburban bougie type of thing. And then we have Image Management. So it's where people like me can come and kind of meet and crown each other's shoulder because we're not represented in the rap music or anything. I'm a Bill Cosby type of guy.
Is it black focus though?
No, it's not. But that's kind of my way of introducing myself to your audience and giving them like a visual of,
right.
of me.
But it's more of an upscale CEO type would go there. Right?
It is. And I find in business, one thing about business that you'll find that you won't find in regular culture is that we don't group ourselves according to color. We group ourselves according to, experience, entrepreneurial.
Right.
And that's what we kind of resonate around. What type of good entrepreneurial experience do you have? How long have you been in business and what's your acumen? And I find that when you have a good upscale clientele, it attracts like-minded people.
You're right about that, definitely. So what kind of an experience could someone expect if they're walking in the door of one of your shops?
Oh, they can expect an atmospheric difference from a barbershop. You'll have relative things to a barbershop like, nice barber chairs, but you'll find a lot of good appointments. You'll find leather furniture. You'll find a good, wood trimmings, and you'll see that things are pretty much organized. And one feature about Image Management that's different from other barbershops, again, it's Image Management, not barbershop per se, but we'll use that for reference, is that the image managers, or what people will call barbers in a regular barbershop, they focus primarily on their client. They do not do talking across the room. That if the client gives any indication that they just want to come in and get their cut, they don't want to be bothered, and they close their eyes, then that's a clue for us to kind of just be quiet and let the customer enjoy the cut without any type of conversation.
Is there any kind of camaraderie between the men that go? I think about it when I go to the salon. Sometimes I go socially with friends. Is there any kind of camaraderie that goes along?
it's, I tell you, it's, what's the difference about it is that the people that we deal with, they don't have a lot of time to, you know, wait in the barbershop. They like the fact that we're appointment only, mm-hmm. and you can get in and you can get out and you don't interrupt your business day. But they use the time with us to kind of rest and relax in between meetings and appointments and all the things that keep them busy. These are real progressive money-making people. Mm-hmm. And they use us as a part of their downtime where they can actually get the haircut. And, you know, so they don't necessarily connect with each other socially. But if a good business conversation comes up, or political conversation especially, because these guys really, they like to know what's going on politically in their world around them. These are decision makers. That's when we strike up good conversations.
I think that's the difference between men and women in this area. You know, maybe women like to chat around, mm-hmm. but a guy wants to get in there and get out. I mean, it's yes. not like... He wants to hang out half the day there.
Yes, and we believe in men being men, and there's not a lot of room for that in today's society. We are the answer to today's feminization of the culture.
Right.
And we're not politically correct. We let men be who they are. A lot of men go places, and they just can't be themselves. The only thing they can talk about is sports.
Right. They're neutral.
And no right. one's offended by that, you know. And right. I like to get in line at the Kroger's, and I like to talk to someone and just shake everybody up by talking about something that's totally politically incorrect,
right?
And watch everybody around start to get uncomfortable, because we need a little bit of that. And that's what image management is. We actually get men back into alignment again and let them know it's okay to be a guy.
Are the image consultants typically men?
Well, no, see, they're image managers.
Image manager. Yeah, we gotta get the manager.
You gotta
manager,
get the language right.
Isn't consultant better? You think? No.
No.
I was going to call them stylists. So
no, well, I knew not to say that.
Well, this is a brand, and you right. have to be able to be first to the market, and you have to be able to create, like the word Band-Aid.
Right.
Well, it's not, it's really a bandage, but right. but people call it Band-Aid.
Sure.
You know why, because yes. it, they've got to the market kind of first with that type of.
And they brainwash you with their advertising.
Well, then let me brainwash you, let you know that they're image managers.
Image manager. So is the image manager typically a male?
Well, no. No. But the image management typically is pro-male.
Pro-male.
Female and male. They're very, very pro-male.
And how do you find that out?
You can, easily.
Come on, ask me and find out if I'm pro-male. I mean, what would you ask? How would you interview
for
that?
I would first start talking about the culture as it is and start talking about political correctness and start talking about Obama and see what side of the line you fall on.
Okay.
Typically, if you're pro-female or pro-pop culture and I say the word Obama and I don't say something positive about him, your eyes are kind of well up with blood and smoke will come out your ears, because people who are inclined to be more feminized in this culture and go along with pop culture, they're defenders of everything he does. In fact, they don't know what he does. They don't pay attention after they're voting, after they voted, but they're just taught like Manchurians to go along with whatever he puts down. Now, see me, I'm a conservative.
Okay.
I'm not an Obama voter. Well, I didn't vote for McCain either, but you know.
So you have to be Republican to go to.
No, but
there?
you do have to have individualism. You have to have a free mind. You can't be a robot. You can't be.
So you have to be at least open-minded.
There's no such thing as open-mindedness. Again, once you use that word, that's how we would categorize you as.
I couldn't go there. I'd be at Supercuts.
If I'm saying open-minded, you'd be like a loud buzzer going.
That's it. And maybe there's an eject button
to the barbershop with you. Right. Wait in line.
You go to the barbershop. So yeah. Image management. What do the image management folk wear? I'm trying to get a visual.
I'm wearing what an image management wear. We wear the black type of sports pants, mm-hmm. you know, and then the image management shirt. These are our colors.
So I can see they have to work out. You can't be the fat image management guy.
Not wearing that, you can't.
Well, you can be anything you want to be physically. Does not matter. You can be a woman. You can be a big, giant person. You can do whatever you want to do. You can be 6 feet tall or 4 feet tall. The thing is that you must understand today's current conditions socially that we're suffering from, and you must be pro-male. Doesn't mean you're anti-female. Mm-hmm. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just meaning that you have to be able to understand that men are severely under attack, and image management likes to put men back into a place of power, personal power.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Good thing we only have him for 10 minutes.
This is gonna be good.
Your feminism's coming out. You hear?
Oh, boy.
You can come back to me and ask me more about that, because I have some philosophical things I'd love to say that would explain exactly why image management exists. You can come back to me. I don't want to be so interested.
But
go for an hour.
At the image management site, you have a radio component, right, where you talk about these issues, right?
We have something called the Barber One Radio Network. It's named after the corporation. And we broadcast directly into barbershops who are not image managements. This is how we sell our franchise, because image management is a franchise. And we broadcast into barbershops nationwide. And they can download the radio player and get it for free. And I have my own program called the Image Management Show. And this is where I brainwash. I'm sorry. I mean, this is where I re-educate. No, that's some old Sylvia stuff. This is where I inform the barbers of the day how to understand the programming that is going on in our culture. And men, you know, for men, barbershops are the only refuge left. It's the last thing left.
Yeah. What about cigar shops? What about the good deflection? Bar?
See her socialism is coming out. She's like, well, what about, you know?
I know.
So there's two things. That's enough for guys, too.
Right. No, I could go on and on. But anyway, I'm going to get back to the subject at hand. Men and facials. I mean, I love a facial. I see on your little coupon here, haircut and facial, $40 every day.
That means it doesn't change. One of my customers makes fun of me. He says, because you put the word every day after it, as if that's some type of bonus, like it fluctuates, like it's a market price.
No, I think it's great.
It's every day.
Every day. It's not just
And that's
a
how often
every
you
day.
Should get one, right?
No, actually, you want to do it weekly. We use we have some real strong ingredients in facial because men, again, are not the ones in society that are being taken care of and coddled.
Right.
So we have a lot of abuse going on, self-abuse, abuse from society, and our skin is horrible. And I like to make sure that we get in there, and I like to show a man that you have value, you should look nice, you should feel nice, and protect yourself from the world tearing you down. Because right now, they're coming after your power. We built this thing. We built it.
Hey. You know,
and get no credit. We built it.
You email Stephen. Send all the emails to Stephen. Right.
All of those emails to Stephen.
Right.
All the emails.
All your angry
stuff.
Bring it to me, and I will convert you into a pro man image management customer. Bring it. I want it all.
Bring it on. And how do people reach you?
Well, where's your location here in town?
Well, I'm in Buckhead. I'm located in Buckhead on Piedmont Road, and the address is 2115 Piedmont Road. That's our corporate office,
and that's appointment only. There's no walk-ins, right?
It's no such thing as walk-ins. You will get sent down. You'll get a business card for a barbershop down the street where you can do that stuff at.
No facial for you.
That's right.
At least standing at the door.
Because the men in there will actually teach you that this is not the way to do it. You have to have an appointment.
Gotcha.
Yes.
And how about the women in there? The women would probably feel
the same.
I'm
going to tell you, the women that come in are so nice and so sweet because I'm going to tell you, they really like to see the sight of a strong man. I don't care what popular culture says.
No,
when a
right.
woman sees
you're
a man
right
who
that.
Is really confident, strong, he's not weak, he's not sexually weak, and he loves women, but that's just not his Achilles heel. He's a provider. He's strong. They really like that.
I do, too. Gosh, it's killing me. That's killing me. Just the images. I got to stop by just to see the manly men.
Yes, you do. Real manly men. And then you have to stop watching television that shows the man is some type of weak, impotent, you know, eunuch where the women just stand over him with arms closed.
Yeah, I don't watch any of that crap. So
Especially the sisters. The sisters is big on that, putting men in a bad, adverse position. They love that. So I have to get on them as well. But we'll do that another time.
So and when you're there, you probably run into Tyler Perry.
I know Tyler Perry. One of the people that's right next to us in our location is Derek Blanks, and he's one of the leading photographers in Atlanta. Everyone knows Derek Blanks, and one of his customers is Tyler Perry. So I get to meet a lot of Tyler Perry's actors and stuff like that because he sends them over to me.
Right.
So there's lots of things I'd like to say to him, but because of the business connection, I keep my mouth shut. You know,
selective opinion, right?
Exactly. I don't want to mess up business trying to you know inform. So we'll just do it. Bit by
slowly,
bit.
Slowly,
slowly, hypnotically, with a stopwatch.
Do you have a website?
Yeah, we do. You want to go to managemyimage.com, and that's where you can really get a good idea exactly what we do in the philosophy, and that's where you can kind of get in touch with the core beliefs. There's a lot of good core stuff for men and women who like strong men who can see exactly what we're doing. And if you want to get an appointment and you want to come in for, and what I'll do is for all the listeners of your program, I'll offer a complimentary facial.
Nice.
Yeah, just because of you guys.
Thanks.
Yeah, we'll do that. You can go to managemyimage.com, register. There's a register button where you can put your information in so I can know that you're interested. And then I'll get in contact with you personally. And you can give me your opinion on what I'm saying, you know, kind of ventilate a little bit. And you can come on in and get yourself a free facial. And hopefully you'll be a customer and you'll go do the haircut thing and then, you know.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Terrific. I have one last question for you.
Sure.
And I'm going to limit it to three words.
Mm-hmm.
Give me three words to describe a strong man.
Three words to describe a strong man.
If you want to, we can come back to you. But I have a feeling it's right there on the tip of your tongue.
It is. And I do have to kind of watch what I say because I want to make sure that I'm, you know, everything is done properly for you.
Three words.
Three words. Why don't we come back and I'll give you those three words.
Okay. Excellent. We'll give you some time to think about that. In the meantime, on to another great business, Lee. Next up, we have Jobia Keys, who is the program manager for Young Masters. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show.
Thank you. Thank you, Amy.
We're happy to have you here with us today. I understand that Young Masters is a new franchise. We'd love to know more about it and what your role is with the company.
Okay. We are the franchisor. We're actually TSS Photography is our parent company. They've been around for 26 years doing sports and school and event photography. So they're the number one photography source. We've got over 160 franchisees all over the country for TSS. And then we have our sister company, which is Young Masters. I'm the program manager there. And we have 18 franchisees. We're represented in 14 states and over 33 units.
And what is Young Masters? What is it that you sell?
We take children's artwork and we put it onto different products that parents and family and friends can purchase. So we take children's artwork and we put it onto different mugs and puzzles and T-shirts. And as a way to help keep arts into the schools, you know, right now, lots of programs are being cut. Arts and music, you know, those are the types of programs that get cut first.
So this is a school, like, fundraiser?
Absolutely. Right. It can certainly be used as a fundraiser. And part of the proceeds from the program go back to supplement the art program. Right.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. That's a neat idea.
But yeah, can you go, like, to their website or something and go and just do it on your own? Or do you have to do it through the school?
We're hoping that that's where we are, you know, going in the future. But right now, we do it through the schools and different organizations. We work with schools, churches, camps, daycares, everything. You know, it's open to everybody. Even you can do Young Masters if
really?
You want.
Sorry, Old Masters.
There you go.
Now, so how does it work? Like you give the school like a packet of stuff or directions on how to do it?
Our franchisees, where the program starts, is we supply them with paper. I know we talked about going green earlier. We have 100% recycled paper that we provide the school or the organization that we're working with. And that goes to the school. They start off with the paper. The children draw on it. Our franchisees collect the paper. It comes into our production facility where it's scanned and put onto different products. Each child gets their own individual published brochure. It's really neat. It has their name on it with their artwork on the front. Once they open it up, their parents can look inside and see the different products.
With their actual artwork on it in the brochure?
Yeah, on the front of the brochure, they've got their artwork on it. Mm-hmm.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Especially because it's so hard to keep some of the pieces of artwork. I've got all kinds of plastic bins in my attic with artwork, and I know it's not the best way to store it. Wow. Oh, you're bringing out samples. That's
very
cool.
Oh, I have to bring out my samples.
And for gifts, too. You know, especially when you have, like, my in-laws, they've got everything they could possibly want. But something like that would be really special.
When you give them this blank sheet of paper, the kids, do you give them some direction in terms of, okay, you know, this is going to be, like, the class, do something themed about, you know, flowers or about, you know, animals or something?
Well, you know, we work closely with the art teachers, and the art teachers usually do you know, pick out a theme, let's say Earth Day. You know, they'll do something pertinent to Earth Day and you know, just draw away. We let the kids, you know, have their freedom. We like to see the expression and we have some excellent art. I know Amy's showing you one right now. We've got some excellent artwork that comes through, and I have the greatest job in the world. I get to see all this every single day, so it's great. We provide free art lessons. Young Masters, we provide those to the art teachers, and they can use our lessons or come up with their own. And usually the teachers just kind of, you know, work Young Masters into their curriculum, which is
right.
great.
And but so you'll work with the art teacher to say, okay, you know, this would be a good adjunct to your project you're already working with for whatever theme they happen to be working on. Like maybe they're doing, you know, expressionist artists, mm-hmm. and then so they go, okay, do something with an expressionist theme?
Absolutely. I mean, we provide art lessons for different grade levels. I mean, we work with, you know, infants all the way up to, like I said, infinity. So we have different art lessons, you know, available for those different age groups. And
the school day, or is that like an extracurricular?
Well, it depends on the organization. So if it's a church, it would be more extracurricular.
Right.
You know, if it's a camp, it'd be more extracurricular. But if it's a school that we're working with, they would actually, you know, include young masters in their daily activity, you know, whatever they've got planned for the day. The art teacher will say, okay, we're doing young masters today. Everybody here's, you know, pass out the paper. This is what we're going to do. And then the kids draw.
And then somebody from Young Masters would actually be there to help them, or the art teacher does the instruction?
The art teacher does the instruction, but we have some franchisees that are very hands-on and will offer, you know, to help out if needed.
Does a franchise owner have to be real artistic like this?
You know, they don't have to be really artistic. They just have to love to build relationships and you know, just enjoy working with people. They don't have to be artistic. We like to see, we see some of our franchisees do their own artwork. You know, they have an opportunity to do it themselves, and they're not always, you know, Picasso.
Right, exactly.
But it's great. It's great to see them building relationships. And, you know, generally when they work with a school organization, they usually work with that school or organization twice a year, usually in the fall and in the spring.
Right. So it's a twice a year fundraiser for the school.
Typically, we have some that want to do it more, and we have some that just want to do it once a year. Fall is very big for us, which is right around the corner.
Right.
The holiday season, you know, as Amy mentioned before, you know, this would be a great gift for grandma, grandpa, aunt and uncle, and parents love it. I mean, it's, you don't have to go and, you know, get a $50 gift card, you know, to Blockbuster or Best Buy for a holiday present. You can always give your children's art as a gift. And I mean, families love it.
Some of the things that the art gets placed on?
Well, here we've got postcards. We've got magnets. One of our premium products is actually a throw, a blanket, where the image is actually woven into the blanket.
Man.
So you can wash that thing. I have one at my house. You can wash it like a million times, and it's still just beautiful.
But it's also like mugs or calendars.
Right, mugs.
It could be.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all price points.
Right, exactly. I mean, with today's economy, we have to, you know, look at that and analyze that. Everyone can't afford a you know, premium item such as the blanket, where it's over $100.
Right.
We have some parents that really want something. I mean, they can get a keychain. Mm-hmm. They can get magnets, you know. So basically the price point, anywhere from $5 on up, you know, our blankets, you know, $135. So anywhere from $5 and on. 75% of our products are under $40.
Well,
so that gives you an idea of, you know, the price range.
Now, to buy a franchise sounds like it would be somewhat interesting. You wouldn't necessarily have to have a location. So much of this is done online, right?
Well, no. The way that the business model is set up now is that there doesn't necessarily have to be a storefront.
Okay.
If you wanted to be a Young Masters owner, you could feasibly do this from home, which is what most of our franchisees do. They work from home.
Okay.
Many of them are stay-at-home parents. Our franchisees now own two franchises. They own a Young Masters and a TSS photography franchise. So very, very busy, and they can work from home. So it's not something that you have to, you know, necessarily.
Is it expensive? Do you know that?
You know, it's very reasonable with you know, the cost of businesses today. We're at $19,950.
Wow.
And that's for the, I mean, so it's very, very, you know, affordable.
Mm-hmm.
We have some financing options that if someone were interested in purchasing a franchise, they could come through us, and we've got some great financing options. We provide ongoing training and an extensive 2-day training. Initially, you get a starter kit with everything you need and, you know, just that great support. You know, we've got the best employees on earth. You know, we're used to supporting franchisees from our parent company, and a lot of those same people are working with Young Masters as well. So great support system, and, you know, our franchisees love it. They can call me personally if they need something. Hey, Joby, I need this. Can you take care of this for me? I'll jump up, you know, run in the back, take care of whatever they need. And the great thing about our facility is that we've got this huge production facility right in our backyard. I can go from my office, the front office, and walk to the production facility and check on orders for franchisees if they need it.
Mm-hmm.
That's
so
terrific. You said people can call you anytime.
What's
the best place way for people to reach you?
Well, if anyone is interested in franchise opportunities or just interested in, you know, program information, you can reach us at 1-877-741-00YM. That's 1-877-741-0096.
And the website is?
The website is www.youngmastersart.com. And our website is great. We have reordering opportunities for parents and teachers if they want to go online. Each child, once they complete our program, they get their unique YMID, mm-hmm. and it goes to the parent. So the parent can type in that YMID number on our website. Their artwork will pop up, and they can order directly from the website, and the products will be sent to them.
So they don't have to deal with the school after the first time.
Right, right. They can go directly to us right from the website. And then if they want to, you know, let's say you do it, Amy, your children, you know, are involved in Young Masters, and they've got some great art. You can send an email to your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, and say, hey, you know, Casey did artwork. Check it out. You can send them the link, and they can purchase artwork.
And then
as
they
well.
Can choose the item that they'd like it placed on.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That is. What a great concept.
So if you guys have any kids, I'll get you some drawing paper and you can test it out.
Oh, yeah, great. I would love to. Yeah. I'd love to do that. My husband's an artist, too. My kids are far more artistically talented than I, that's for sure. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
We hope folks will reach out and learn more about being a franchise owner as well as learn more about Young Masters. Thank you.
Thank you, Amy.
And last but definitely not least, we have Keith Finger. And Keith Finger is an outsourced chief marketing officer. Keith Finger, what in the world does that mean?
Well, many companies need help with their marketing, but until they get to a certain size, they usually can't afford somebody to be a strategic marketer on staff. But they struggle. So I'm able to work with them on a outsourced basis, on sort of a timeshare basis, for so many hours per month, and give them that marketing expertise they need without the cost of having to hire somebody full-time. Typically, I can save them, it might cost a third to a fifth of what having somebody full-time would be, yet they get the same results.
Now, how does it work in terms of how quickly can you get up to speed? Like, how much of the initial contract with them is you just learning their business before you can even begin to help them?
Usually up front, I will spend several weeks doing a plan. So I'm doing my research then. I'm speaking with customers. I'm speaking with their channel partners, distributors, depending upon what business they might be in.
Right, because you really have to integrate yourself into the company in order to understand what the problem is, right?
Well, that's true. And I happen to have, a knack for being able to get up to speed quickly on what people's what their business problems are, what uh-huh. their marketing problems are. So I do upfront research, and I am learning as I am doing my due diligence. And then after I have presented my recommendations, we decide what they'd like to go forward with, how much time they'd like to spend ongoing with me managing their marketing.
And then do you break it into like phases? Like, okay, let's initially tackle the website, and then, you know, let's tackle the sales staff, or how do you manage that?
What we end up doing usually is several things at one time, because if you do just one deliverable at a time, it probably would take too long. So you look at what can you do in the short term, what can you do in the long term, and try and do a little bit of everything together, because marketing, most people believe that marketing is just promotion, but it's your product mix, it's your pricing, it's your distribution. And I look at all of those things because they all affect how well a company does.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of those cylinders have to be firing together, so I'm moving everything along at a certain pace.
And all of it, not just one of the cylinders.
That's right. That's right.
So how are you different from a PR person or an ad agency?
Well, PR people and advertising people, they are promotionally focused. And marketing is, as I mentioned, product pricing, distribution, promotion, as well as what's called the five competitive forces. So they're focused on just one aspect of marketing, while I'm taking a macro approach and looking at all these factors that affect a company's marketing. I am what I like to call output neutral or output agnostic. If it happens to be that a company needs assistance with PR, if they need assistance with advertising, I'll then pull in and manage those resources. But I'm not there to sell them PR or advertising. I'm there to align their marketing with their sales goals.
So tell us, what would be a typical customer for you, or maybe walk us through a success story that you've had?
Well, a typical customer would be probably from around $1 million in revenue up to as high as $20 million or more. When companies get to around $20 million, they might bring in somebody full-time. I can still assist them by helping them with demand generation, which is a particular skill which many companies struggle with. But a great case study, I have a client who has been selling what we'll call communications equipment to the military for 8 or 10 years. They're looking to expand into other markets, but they have no experience in those markets. They happen to be military people themselves, so they understand that they have the connections, but now they're trying to sell into the civilian market, so I'm helping them to understand what are potential sales channels, how do you price, how do you actually sell to these to civilians. It's a different type of sale. It's more solution-oriented as opposed to being product or technically oriented.
So since they've never had experience in this area, then you're really doing it for them.
That's right. I'm doing their marketing and giving them the recommendations on what, for instance, how the sales manager might go about finding distributors and what will those distributors need in terms of support so that they can sell more product.
You've mentioned demand several times, demand generation, and describe that to us a little bit. I mean, how do you create that?
Well, a lot of people are familiar with the term lead generation. Somebody who is a lead is ready to be sold now. So most companies function on getting
as many leads as possible.
Right, get as many leads as possible. But if you have a client, if your company, rather, has a long sales cycle or sells complex products, it might take you 6 months or a year to close somebody.
Right.
So they're not ready until maybe halfway through that sales cycle to be sold, to be spoken with by a salesperson. They are gathering information,
sure,
looking at competitors. Demand generation seeks to pull them into the sales funnel as opposed to prospects that are only ready to be sold now. So you can nurture them, feed them the information, so when they are ready to be sold, you're the one they choose versus having them almost drifting because they're not ready to be sold and you're not speaking to them.
Right. So then it's a more of like kind of education at that point?
Exactly. So that's what it is. You're educating them. You're helping them understand how you can best serve their needs. So when they do raise their hand and say, let's talk, you're the one that they choose.
Because you've kind of earned the trust over time by helping them make the decision to pick your company.
Exactly. And trust or confidence is the number one thing that people look for in a vendor, in a company to do business with. Price is not the first. Selection is not the first. It is confidence. So you are giving confidence to potential customers that you know what you're talking about.
And that you'll solve their problem, whatever
exactly.
It may be.
Exactly.
So confidence rather than service.
Well, service is important, but if you think about it, when you've gone to a website yourself, for instance, you want to get a feel. You get a vibe almost from the marketing as to, are these people trustworthy?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you need to give prospects.
Interesting. There's a lot to know. A lot to know about marketing, and there are so many different fingers to the...
Yes, there are.
Now, on your website, you have a lot of information. I know there's a white paper there. There's information about marketing in general as well as your specific services.
Yes, I've got a white paper that talks about the importance of demand generation and lead nurturing in business-to-business marketing.
And where can people find that?
It would be www.keithfinger, that's K-E-I-T-H, F like Frank, I-N-G-E-R.com.
And on your website, you have testimonials, but you also have your value proposition. So what, in a nutshell, is your value proposition?
Well, the value proposition is being able to give companies the marketing expertise that they need at a price that they can afford. And I increase the return on investment that they're spending on their marketing. Many times they would be not literally throwing away their marketing dollars, but perhaps not spending it effectively. So I not only help them get results, I'm helping them do it at a rate that they could not otherwise afford.
I got to check out some of those testimonials. Too bad we don't have time for those on air, because we've got to get back to the three words to define a strong man.
That's what we've been waiting for.
Thanks so much for being with us today, Keith, and we hope folks will reach out and find out a little bit more about your marketing strategies and read your white paper and follow you on LinkedIn and Twitter. Thanks for being with us today.
My pleasure.
Okay, Stephen.
Okay, after careful consideration and good thought, I have decided that a real good man cannot be summarized with simply three words. I mean, men are a lot more
complex.
That
sounds like a cop out.
No, but I've got
cop
out
two words. Cop out's two words.
Well, then we got one left. Let's talk about the philosophical. And I have three philosophical points. Okay,
and I said three words.
Well, yeah, but they are words. They're single words, okay, but have the, you know, the connotation of philosophy. A man, a real man, he encompasses the past, the present, and the future in all of his being. Okay, meaning the past is, he's a historian. So here's a single word associated with the past. He understands where he comes from, the lineage of his family, the lineage of his route to success. Mm-hmm. And he can duplicate that again if he goes through some rough times. Number two, in the present, if he's a presently centered person, he's a teacher as well. He can take what he knows and he can administer it to anyone at any time, mm-hmm, and help them to grow. The third one, philosophically, he's a futurist. He understands the future, which means he's a leader. That means that he can actually show you a path and portray that picture where you actually sign into it and believe it and believe in him, and he'll lead you to that point in the future where you'll be successful as well.
That works.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, you bailed him out. Well, you said three words and he talked for like an hour again.
No, Lee, I'm going to, I think I'll give you a week to come up with three words to describe a real man.
Okay, next week. Okay. Remember.
I'm sure you have a middle name. Lee Cantor.
Yes.
There's one more word missing.
There's just two. That's the only ones you have to know.
A manly man. Gosh, what a great show today,
yeah, see,
Lee.
That threw you off, Amy, because you're like, wow, where's that guy? You don't even know what to say to that, do you?
You're just I do know what to say to that.
And if we were talking about weak men right now, we'd be able to talk all day long because they're...
Oh, no. I know all about strong men. I love myself a strong man. All right. Until next week, I'm going to hang out with the strong men here in the studio. And little does he know I have hens and not a rooster for a reason. Until next week, I'm Amy Otto for the Atlanta Business Radio Show, and I'm about to get the giggles, so we'll see you next week. We'll